Hi, everybody. Welcome back. So this is a retake on episode 9. It's chapter 35 to chapter 40. I accidentally erased this chapter. There may be some background noise that you'll hear because I'm not going to go through a lot of time trying to kill sounds around me. I'm just going to rock this out. My daughter's back in school and I can kind of get back to this. So that is the goal. So chapter 35. And God said to Jacob, "Rise up, go to Bethel and live there, and make an altar to God there, who appeared to you when you fled before your brother Esau." And Jacob said to his house and to all those with him, "Put away the strange gods which are in your midst, and purify yourselves, and change your clothing, and let us rise up and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, he who answered me in the day of my distress, and he was with me in the way in which I went." And they gave all their strange gods in their hands to Jacob. They had other gods, and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was in the Shechem. And they pulled up and went, and the terror of God was on the cities that were all around them. They did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, it being Bethel, and he and all those people with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel. Is that right? El Bethel. Because God revealed himself to him there when he fled from his brother. And Rebekah's nurse, Deborah, died and was buried below Bethel under the oak. And he called its name Oak of Weeping. And God appeared to Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." And he called his name Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be from you, and kings shall go forth from your loins. And the land which I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I will give it to you. And I will give the land to your seed after you." And God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a memorial pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. And they pulled up from Bethel. And there was a Kibrah of land before they came to Ephrah. I don't know what a Kibrah is. And there was a Kibrah, K-I-B-R-A-H, of land before they came to Ephrath. And Rachel bore, and she had hard labor in her bearing. And it happened as she had hard labor in her bearing, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for this also is a son for you." And it happened as her soul was going forth, for she died, she called his name Benoni, and his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar on her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. And Israel departed, and he pitched his tent beyond the tower of the flocks. Oh, and he pitched his tent beyond the tower of the flocks. And as Israel lived in that land, it happened that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard. And the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's slave girl, Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's slave girl, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. And Jacob came to his father Isaac, to Mamre, to the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had lived. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac expired and died, and was gathered to his people, old and satisfied of days. And his son Esau and Jacob buried him. Chapter 36. And these are the generations of Esau. That is, Edom, Esau, took his wives from the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Oholibama, I can't even pronounce that, the daughter of Anan, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite? And Basemath, the daughter of Ishmael, sister of Nebajoth. And Adah bore Eliphaz to Esau, and Basemath bore Reuel. Reuel? That's R-E-U-E-L and O-H-O-L-I-B-A-M-A-H. Oholabima. Borju, these are not English words, man. And Oholabima bore Jush and Jalam and Korah. These were the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the souls of his house and his livestock and all his beasts of burden and all his property which he had acquired in the land of Canaan, and he went to the land away from his brother Jacob. For their possessions had become great, keeping them from dwelling together, and the land of their travels was not able to bear them because of their livestock. And Esau dwelt on Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Okay, Esau dwelt on Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. I don't even... Sure. And these were the generations of Esau. The father of Edom on Mount Seir, the names of the sons of Esau, Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau, Raul, the son of Basemath, a wife Esau, and the sons of Eliphaz, Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz, that's the end of a sentence, and Timnah was a concubine to Eliphaz, the son of Esau, and she bore Amalek to Eliphaz. These were the sons of Esau's wife, Adah, and the sons of Reuel, Nahath, and Zarah, Shamath, and Mizah. These were the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Oholabama, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. Even she bore Jush and Esau, Anjalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, Esau's firstborn, chief Teman, chief Omar, chief Zepho, chief Kenaz, chief Korah, chief Gatam, chief Amalek. These were the chiefs of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These the sons of Adah. And these were the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, chief Nathath, chief Zerah, chief Shammah, chief Mizah. These were the chiefs of Reuel in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. And the sons of Oholabima, Esau's wife, chief Jush, chief Jalam, chief Korah. These were the chiefs of Oholabima, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Esau, and these their chiefs. He is Edom. These were the sons of Seir the Horite, living in the land Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anah, and Dishon, and Ezer, and Dishan. There's a Dishon and a Dishan. These were the chiefs of the Horites, the sons of Seir, in the land of Edom, and the sons of Lotan, Hori and Heman, and Lotan's sister, Timnah. And these were the sons of Shobal, Alvin and Manahath, and Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. And these were the sons of Zibeon, even Aiah and Anah. He is Anah, who found the hot springs in the desert as he tended the asses for his father, Zibeon. And these were the sons of Anah, Dishon and Oholabima, the Anah's daughter. And there were the sons of Dishon, Hemdan, and Eshban, and Ithran and Sharon. These were the sons of Ezer, Bilhan and Zavin and Akan. These were the sons of Dishon, Uz and Aran. These were the chiefs of the Horites, Chief Lotan, Chief Shobal, Chief Zibeon, Chief Anah, Chief Dishon, Chief Ezer, Chief Dishon. These were the chiefs of the Horites according to their chiefs in their land of Seir. And these were the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before the reigning of a king over the sons of Israel. And Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city, Dinhaba, and Bela died. And Jobab, the son of Zerah, from Bozrah, reigned in his place. And Jobab died, and Hasham, from the land of the Temanites, reigned in his place. And Hasham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his place, and the name of his city, Abith. And Hadad died, and Samlah, from Masrekah reigned in his place, and Samlah died, and Shaul from Rehoboth by the river reigned in his place, and Shaul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Akbar, reigned in his place, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Akbar, died, and Hadar reigned in his place, and the name of his city was P-A-U. And his wife's name, Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. And these were the names of the chiefs of Esau, according to their families, according to their places, by the names Chief Timnah, Chief Alva, Chief Jetheth, Chief Ohilabama, Chief Elah, Chief Penan, Chief Kenaz, Chief Teman, Chief Mibzar, Chief Magdil, Chief Aram. These were the chiefs of Edom according to their dwellings in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of Edom. Okay, so this was one of those parts. I'm just going to throw this out there. After saying all those names, and I'm sure that all relates to different stories, but when they're slamming into you like this, it doesn't make any sense at all. Any sense at all. It's really, really hard to follow. Excuse me for the cough there. All right, 37. Jacob lived in the land of his father's travels, in the land of Canaan. Hold on, my cat's scratching on the window to get in. 1 second. Sorry about the pause there. My cat is out of her mind. All right, chapter 37. And Jacob lived in the land of his father's travels, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, a son of 17 years, was tending the flock with his brothers, with Bilhah's sons, and with Zilpah's sons, his father's wives. And he was a youth. And Joseph came with an evil report of them to their father. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was a son of old age to him. I don't even know what that means. Like, is his son like 200 years old? Anyway. And he made a robe reaching to the feet. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and they hated him. Ooh. And they were not able to speak peaceably to him. Oh, geez, there's some jealousy's happening now. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brothers. And they increased to hate him still more. And he said to them, now hear this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the middle of the field. And behold, my sheaf rose up and also stood up. And behold, your sheaves came around and bowed themselves to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you really rule over us? And they hated him still more because of his dreams and because of his words. And he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. And he said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing themselves to me. And he told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream which you have dreamed? Shall we indeed come to bow ourselves to the earth? To you, I, your mother, and your brothers? And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father paid attention to the word. And his brothers went to feed the flock of their father in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flocks in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them. And he said to him, here I am. And he said to him, now go, see the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, and bring word back to me. And he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Sorry, I'm trying to move faster, and words are getting stuck on me. This text is so small. I have said that 100 times. This text is so small. And a man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what do you seek? And he said, I am looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding. And the man said, they have left here, for I heard them say, let us go towards Dothan. And Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And they saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they plotted against him to kill him. And they said each to his brother, behold, this master of dreams is coming. That's horrible. He's a master of his own dreams, huh? And come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And let us say, an evil beast has eaten him, and see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard, and he saved him from their... Just real quick, I gotta flip the page, but that is crazy. I mean... Thou shalt not kill, but these dudes are like, you know what? Let's kill this dude. See how he feels about his dreams then. Ha. And Reuben heard, and he saved them from their hands. And said, let us not smite his soul. And Reuben said to them, do not shed blood. Throw him into the pit here in the desert, but do not lay a hand on him, so that he might deliver him from their hands, to return him to his father. See if he can get himself out. And when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped his long coat from Joseph, the long coat on him reaching to his feet. They took him and threw him into the pit being empty, no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. So they threw him in the pit and they had lunch. They lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. And their canes were bearing spices. Canes, I don't know if that's camels. And Baslam gum and sticky gum, going down to take them to Egypt. And Judah said to his brother, "What gain is it that we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and do not let our hand be on him. For he is our brother, our flesh." And his brothers listened. And men, Midianites, traders, came by. And they drew up Joseph and took him out of the pit. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Oh, this is cold. They sold their brother. Like, hey, man, I'm done with you. These people that are about to pass by, they don't know we're related or what the deal is. So I'm just going to kind of tie you up a little bit here and tell them you're a slave. Or whatever they told these people. I would think he would protest. These are my brothers. But, all right. And Reuben came back to the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his garment. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The child, he is not. And where shall I go?" And they took Joseph's long coat and killed a ram of the goats and dipped the long coat in the blood. And they sent the long coat reaching to the feet. And they took it to their father and said, "We have found this. Now look, it is your son's long coat. Is it not?" They didn't say, "Is it not?" But there's question marks around it's your son's long coat. And he knew it and said, "My son's long coat. An evil beast has eaten him. Surely Joseph is torn in pieces." And Jacob tore his clothing and put sackcloth on his loins. And he mourned many days for his son. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. And he refused to be comforted and said, "I will go down to Sheol mourning for my son." And his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the chief of the executioners. And it happened at that time that Judah went down away from his brothers and turned aside to a man of Adullam named Hurah. And Judah saw there a daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. And he took her and went into her. And she conceived and bore a son, and he called her E-R, like error. Whoops, that was an error. And she conceived again, and bore a son, and called his name Onan. And she continued still and bore a son, and she called his name Shelah. And he was at Shezib when she bore him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, named Tamar. And Judah's firstborn, was evil in the eyes of Jehovah. Oh, and Jehovah killed him. And Judah said to Onan, "Go into your mother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to your brother." And Onan knew that the seed would not be his. And it happened, when he went into his brother's wife, he wasted his semen to the ground, not giving seed to his brother. And what he did was evil in the eyes of Jehovah, and he also killed him. And Judah said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, "Live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah is grown." For he said, "Lest he also die like his brothers." And Tamar went and lived in her father's house. So, I gotta wonder what this chick looks like. They're having a real hard time getting anyone wanting to stick anything in her, so. Which is just weird. I don't understand that fully. I thought you obeyed your father, but these guys were trying to kill their brother, so. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, at least. I don't even know if these are the same guys. This all moves so quick. Okay. And the days were many. And the wife of Judah, the daughter of Shelah, died, and Judah was comforted. And he went up to the shearers of his flocks, he and his friend Hurah and Adullam to Timnah. And Tamar was told, saying, "Behold, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his flocks." And she took off her widow's robe from her, and veiled herself with a veil, and disguised herself. And she sat at the entrance to Enam, which is on the way to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah had grown up. And she had not been given to him for a while. And Judah saw her, and he thought she was a harlot, because she had veiled her face. And he turned aside to her by the roadway, and said, "Come now, let me come in to you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What will you give me that you may come in to me?" And he said, "I will send a kid of the goats from the flock." And she said, "Will you give me a pledge until you send it?" And he said, "What is the pledge which I shall give you?" And she said, "Your signet ring, and your bracelet, and your staff in your hand." And he gave to her, and came into her, and she conceived by him. And she rose up and left, and took off her veil from her face, and she put on her widow's robes. And Judah sent the kid of the goats by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive the pledge from the woman's hand, and he did not find her. And he asked the men of her place, saying, "Where is the harlot that was at Enam by the roadway?" And they said, "There was no harlot here." And he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." And also the men of the place said, "There was no harlot here." And Judah said, "Let her take them for herself, that we not become a laughingstock. See, I sent this kid, and you did not find her." And after 3 months it happened, I was told to Judah, saying, "Your daughter-in-law Tamar has committed adultery, and also behold, she is pregnant by whoredom." And Judah said, "Bring her out, and let her be burned." She was being brought out, and she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "I am pregnant by the man to whom these belong." And she said, "Note, now whose are these? The signet ring, the bracelet, and the staff." And Judah looked intently and said, "She is more righteous than I, because I did not give her to my son Shelah, and he never knew her again. And in the time of her bearing, behold, it happened, twins were in her womb. And in her bearing it happened that one put forth a hand, and the midwife took it, and tied crimson on his hand, saying, 'This one came out first.' And it happened as he withdrew his hand, behold, his brother came out." And she said, How have you broken a break for yourself?" And one called his name Faraz. And then his brother came out, on whose hand was the crimson. And one called his name Zara. Oh, that's crazy. So a hand came out ahead of the head. They tied a thing out, like, okay, this one's going to be first. And then the hand went back in. And they're like, "Oh, it's coming. We're probably going to get the head." And then a completely different baby came out. And then the next baby popped out and had the crimson on its hand. So this little dude, I don't even know, you're trying to get around his brother? Anyway, chapter 39. And Joseph was carried down to Egypt and brought him Potiphar, a eunuch of Pharaoh, the chief of the executioners, an Egyptian man from the hand of the Ishmaelites who had carried him down there. And Jehovah was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of Egyptian, his master. And his master saw that Jehovah was with him, and Joseph prospered all which he did in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his eyes and served him. And he appointed him over his house, and he gave all he owned into his hand. Ooh. And it came about that from the time he appointed him over his house and over all he owned, Jehovah blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of Joseph, and the blessing of Jehovah was on all that had, was on all that he had, in the house and in the field. And he left all he owned in Joseph's hand. And he did not know anything that he said, except the bread which he was eating. And Joseph was beautiful in form and beautiful in appearance. And after these things, it happened that his master's wife lifted up her eyes to Joseph's and said, "Lie with me." And he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, my master does not know what is in the house with me. And all that he owns he has given into my hand. No one in the house is greater than I. And he has not withheld anything from me except you, because you are his wife. And how should I do this great evil and sin against God?" And it happened as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her, to be with her. And it happened on this day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house. And she caught him by his robe, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his robe in her hand and fled and went outside. And it happened when she saw that he had left his robe in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought to us a Hebrew man to mock at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And when he heard that I raised my voice and cried, he left his robe by me and fled and went outside." And she kept his robe beside her until the coming of his master to his house. And she spoke these same words to him, saying, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought into us came into me to mock at me. And it happened at my raising of my voice, and crying out, he left his robe beside me and fled outside." That is so crazy. Oh, chick. I mean, chicks still do this today. Nothing against any woman maybe listening to this podcast, but this is an unbelievably common theme to this day. Wow. So, nothing new under the sun. And it happened when his master heard his wife's words, which she spoke to him, saying, "According to these words your slave did to me," his anger glowed. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison house, the place where the king's prisoners were imprisoned. And Jehovah was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. And he gave him favor in the eyes of the warden of the prison house. And the warden of the prison house gave all his prisoners in the prison house into Joseph's hand. And all which they did there, he was doing. There was no looking of the warden of the prison house to anything in his hand, in that Joseph was with him, and Jehovah was prospering what he was doing. Okay, I'm going to stop right here and check to make sure that this is where this episode ends and that the next one picks up at chapter 40. Sorry for the inconvenience to anyone that listened to the original episode 9. I'm sure that I'd gone a little slower and talked a little more about what was being read. And all in all, just sorry that this got taken out of here. This is getting put back. I will not erase these again. I will keep moving forward with all the new episodes as I get time here during the days. I get a 2-hour, 15-minute window Monday through Thursday to kind of break this down. Some of those days I'm going to have some things to do. Today I don't, and tomorrow I don't believe I do. So expect a new episode following the renewal of this one. All right, everyone, have a great day, and may God be with you.